I'd like to call this council work session in order.
Mr. Gwynn?
Here.
Mr. McLeod?
Here.
Ms. Heimbuckle?
Here.
Mr. Musley?
Here.
Ms. Rich?
Here. Do you all have any public comments before we get started? The topics for discussion are preliminary budget presentation and investment ordinance change.
Thank you, Madam President. Two items on the agenda. The first is to discuss the preliminary budget presentation, and our deputy CFO will take lead on that discussion, followed by a discussion on a proposed change to the city's investment ordinance, and that will follow the budget workshop discussion. So let me turn the time over to Cindy Kelly, our deputy CFO, to lead our discussion on the budget presentation.
Good morning. I apologize. My voice is a little shaky. I have a cold. This is the fifth workshop on the budget. Our next time that we will meet related to the budget will actually be during public hearings. Our tentative hearing is on September 3rd, and our final budget hearing is on September 20th, both taking place at 5:05 p.m. To date, Council has conducted four different workshops. The first workshop was on the budget format, which was related to the plans we were going to use to balance the budget. The second workshop was on our capital projects and our vehicle replacements. Our third workshop was related to the general fund and the ancillary funds like the gas tax and those. And then our fourth workshop was related to the enterprise funds. And all of the different changes that were requested by council have been incorporated into the budget, and it is balanced all funds. The general fund is balanced at the rollback rate, which was tentatively adopted by council on July 16th, of 6.2502. The one-time economic compensation adjustment has been budgeted $500 for full-time employees and $250 for part-time regular employees. We experienced a 9% increase in our health insurance rates, which was absorbed by the city, and we do have a wellness program in place where if the employees take advantage of that, they will not see an increase in their health insurance premium. The increase to the pension contributions were also absorbed by the city. The city has also just adopted pension reform, and any necessary changes related to that reform will take place via amendments during the budget year. The general fund reserve for cash balance forward is fully funded at the 20% level. All of the enterprise funds are balanced, revenues to expenditures, with the exception of the Gulf Fund, which receives a transfer from the general fund. The savings from the bond debt refinancing that we just did at the last council meeting have been incorporated into the budget. All of the interfund transfers were adjusted. According to the prior conversations we had increased some of the enterprise fund transfers. We took a blend of the 3 and 6% reduction options into consideration when we were balancing the budget. The enterprises for the utilities have rate studies underway, and we expect to see those in the next 60 or so days. We will bring those rate studies before council to make recommendations. We have done everything that we could think of to make sure that we have the transparent process, and we've discussed all of the funds, and we will again be submitting for the GFOA award for the 14 budget. With that, unless council has questions, we don't have a lot to discuss related to the budget.
So you want to discuss this memo?
Yes. We did hand out a memo to council, which is at your place. Councilman Owen raised the question at the last workshop related to reducing the funding for the Small Business Development Council, the SBDC, by $20,000, and reallocating that money into council's discretionary fund to give more funding to additional nonprofit agencies. That is not represented in the current budget. We didn't receive direction to do that. The SBDC is presently funded out of the Economic Improvement Fund. It's funded at the $80,000 level, has been since fiscal year 07-08. Prior to that, from 2000 through 2007, we funded them at the $50,000 level. And it has always been funded out of the Economic Improvement Fund. So should council decide they want to take that action, we would reduce the transfer to the Economic Improvement Fund and then take the $20,000 and put it in council's budget. And then you all would have to determine to whom you would like that money to go.
Good question. I think that's a good idea. This one, is there also $23,000 in here right now for this funding support for outside organizations, council's discretion?
No, sir. There is $6,300.
There's how much?
$6,300 to support outside organizations.
Okay,
so this 20 would be in addition to the $6,300 that's already been appropriated. So that would take it to $26,000, which would be even in excess of what council used to fund.
Okay, because I'm looking at something here that says $23,000.
Mayor, what are you looking
at? A couple of years ago, we were at $23,000.
That bottom number. Got that from Lori yesterday. Or is that from last year?
This is a work paper that was prior to adoption of the 13 budget. This is not what was adopted.
Okay.
So that Council, was a work paper for this year?
No, this was a work paper for last year.
Okay.
This is just one of the scenarios that we entertained. This was not the adopted budget.
But that is the account that discretionary funds would
account,
be placed in.
Yes, what council adopted for last year was $6,300, and also for next year at the present time it's $6,300.
Okay. Yes, I think that would be a good idea. I had asked that. I was looking at that yesterday, and I had asked what was this year's budget that we were looking at, and that's what I was given. So.
If I remember correctly, council also has allocated to three organizations, I think, $6,000 of the discretionary funding. I don't recall the organizations, but I think you've dedicated $2,000 to three of them, leaving
public policy.
Yes.
That's right.
Public policy and the
leaving, I think it was $300 to $500.
Yes, dollars. We had three organizations, the same three that request every year.
That's right.
And council divvied it up three ways.
Yes.
The Betts and the Children's Alliance and public policy.
And they had been given SB. Whatever it is, they have been given in the years past like $85,000 or $80,000. So we've been doing that for a pretty good length of time. So.
I mean, I appreciate this. I was going to ask about this today. It's just, I'm throwing it out there for council if that's something that we want to consider doing on the, the Small Business Development Commission of reducing them to 60 and then giving council some leeway in that discretionary fund next year, because we talk about it, from, and it's not just the vets and the public policy and the Children's Alliance. I mean, I think we were at $6,300. We were talking,
yes,
we said what, $2,000 apiece, leaving,
yes,
a little bit of money for all year for who knows what, you get, history has shown, we just get people will come down and request things from time to time, and we either have a little bit of money in the bank to do that with, or we don't. So that's just, it's council's decision. I just want to see if it can be put on the table for discussion to put in the mix to reduce that funding and consider some increased funding to some of the other groups, and that's all that it is.
Yes, Richard. from my standpoint, I think it's a great idea. It gives us a opportunity to do some things that we wanted to do before, but just couldn't because of funding, so.
I would concur with that.
Okay, so just to recap, we are going to reduce the general fund transfer to the Economic Improvement Fund by $20,000. Reduce the SBDC's allocation to $60,000, and increase council's reserve for outside agencies by $20,000. Do you want me to redirect or increase the funding to the three organizations that received, or would council like to just have that money in their fund to do what they need to do when the time arises?
I would like to have it in reserve to do what we may need to do when the time arises. Either one of those organizations feels they want or needs more, then they can approach us at the appropriate time.
Yeah, that was where I had discussing with them when they were talking about the potential for more funding. I said, you got to come and lay out a plan. I mean, you got to come and say, it's not just getting it for the sake of getting it. It's come to council, say, here's what we're trying to accomplish. Here's what it is we're trying to do. And so those organizations can know that there's more funding in place, and it's up to them to come back to council to express why they feel they're worthy of some more dollars than what we currently have. So I would just, you know, I guess maybe a letter from Matt, from you, would be just to say, hey, the budget's been increased, the funding is there, but that does not solely mean that you're getting the funds. You still have to come up here and politic and lobby. So, but at least it gives some council some leeway coming into the next year of those organizations being able to do that.
If I can also, for my edification, make sure I understand what council's intention is here. Do you want to reduce the funding to SBDC by 20,000, or just reduce that amount which would go to reserves in the EIF fund? Cindy just talked about taking 20,000 and redirecting it to your contingency account within the general fund, which means we're going to reduce 20,000 from the EIF fund. You want that 20,000 to come from the SBDC allocation or from that amount which would go to reserves in that fund? If you look at, for example,
I'm sure I follow you.
If you look at this document here, which is page 2 of the packet that Cindy handed out, if you'll look at page 2 of that handout, the colored graphs,
so
is, page 2.
So what you're asking is, do we want to fully fund the small business development, or do we want to
reduce
reserves. Their funding and use their money, or fully fund them and just reduce money that would otherwise just be sitting in the EIF?
Exactly. It'd go from 145 down to 125.
Right now, I would rather keep it at the 145 and reduce the amount that's going to the SBDC.
Okay.
Correct.
By the 20. I'm not sure why we went from 50 to 80 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was that
Did
way.
Did they just so ask
for a while? Yeah, it was just always an 80.
They just asked for more, and we...
It was just year after year.
They just increased their request, and we... gave it to them.
Approved it, probably.
Yes. The county still funds them at the $50,000 level.
Oh, they do?
The county
yes,
does?
Yes.
I can't answer the question of why we went to 80. I suspect the reason is, in part, I talked to Dr. Geist about this potential and asked him what would the impact be on his organization if council were to remove $20,000. He didn't have a definitive answer. He said he suspected what would happen is they would maintain the office in Ocala. And at one time, keep in mind that having the office here provides some benefit, and I don't know that that's always been the case. But he said they would probably maintain the office here, but what they would do is, rather than bringing in some of the consultants they bring in from their network from outside the city, they bring them into the city to meet with businesses, they would just say to those businesses, here's the kind of people you need to meet with, but go to Jacksonville to meet with them. he said that's probably would be part of the impact of the loss of 20. So to answer your question, I suspect that may have been part of the deal is try to get a higher level of service and have it located here. I'm not certain of that.
Do we, Martin, do you know of any success stories that they have?
I do. I can't speak to them off the top of my head. I have talked to some of the businesses. I have looked at the videos and recognized some of the individuals or the businesses that they have, but I can't speak to this. I wasn't prepared today to go back and research, go back through my files to look at some of those companies.
Yeah, no, they've shown us some success stories in the past, but I can't recall.
Can you really quantify them?
That was kind of the issue we were
Attached to your packet were the breakdown of the SBDC's budget. Their entire budget is $279,000, of which we represent $80,000 of that. The county represents $50,000 of that. So the majority of their funding comes from the city and the county. And admittedly, most of the funding they receive from us pays for salaries and operating so that they can have the appropriate staff to meet with companies that are trying to locate here.
Question, and I don't know if you can answer this matter, but what exactly do they do that's that much different than the CEP?
Mark? Mark's really our subject matter expert.
I'm glad you asked that question, and I'm going to take the opportunity to expand a little bit on my answer, if you don't mind. In my opinion, the primary role of the SBDC in terms of the benefits to our community is they're primarily meant to help with startup businesses, not exclusively startup. There are many businesses that come to them that are struggling. They've been in business, but they're having problems, and they want to find out if there's some suggestions that they have in terms of changes they might need to make to become more successful, create new products, access different markets. But their fundamental role is to help businesses develop business plans, or people who want to start a small business develop a business plan. They also provide other resources. So if you go to their office, they have all kinds of different books and manuals and things that provide, if you want to start a car dealership, they've got books to explain the issues you're going to deal with. They also provide some resources in terms of funding, like they have connections with some of the SBA lenders in terms of what's available to those individuals who don't know. So they sort of serve as a one-stop shop for small businesses. I think from the city's perspective, it is one of the primary ways in which the city helps small businesses in our community. In terms of the CEP, again, from my perspective, besides all the regular chamber side of what they do, the CEP, in my opinion's primary responsibility is to be out there marketing, promoting our community, and drumming up leads, beating the bushes and dropping leads on our desk. Here's a potential company. City staff's job is to take those leads and try to develop those into projects. The CEP is also the primary entity that deals with the state. The state doesn't want to deal with every city and every county. They deal with one entity in each county by statute, and the CEP is that entity in this community. But the county commission actually makes that designation of the CEP to serve in that role with the state agencies. And so we work through the CEP in our relationships with the states. To me, that is sort of essentially the differences. There are many more, but that is essentially.
Small business hotline.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, I don't know if it was Councilman Musley that brought it up, but, I would like to know some success stories if possible.
They of course, are operating under confidentiality because not every small business owner wants the public to know they're being challenged or that they've come in there for help. Dr. Geis has offered on many occasions to meet individually with you. He has a video that he's happy to share with some of the individuals that give testimony. He could provide you raw data that's very generalized data that talks about the number of people that walk in the door, the number of people that he provides assistance to. He can add more color to that data if you're meeting with him in a private setting. He's happy to do that. And we can certainly arrange it any time.
Okay, well, I may take you up on that.
Okay.
I just, the whole confidentiality thing.
It's tough.
It kind of bothers me from this side of the chair.
Sure. Yep. And just so you know, at our staff level, we refer people to SBDC quite a bit. Mm-hmm. People come to see us and they say, hey, can I come to the city and get a loan? And that, we don't do that. But
And I'm not so much being critical. I just,
Right.
I just want to know, because that's, you know, again, that's a great deal of money.
Absolutely.
That was expanded, and then I look at the county's proportion of $50,000, and like, okay, what happened there?
Sure. Absolutely.
I'm almost thinking, should we cut it back to 50?
I thought you might be thinking that.
Match the county. Match the county.
No, we're the city. We're always doing it for the children, so that's an extra 10, at least. We're always carrying the load, so. They've been very effective, and Ken's right, talking about going back to 2005, 2006, and I know they've been effective with the amount of money that they've got back in 2007. 50 from the county, 50 from the city, and have been able to do that. Yes, it sort of has bled through to where all of a sudden city's taking on, pick a subject, and the city's taking on more of the responsibility with its dollars to keep everything plugging along, okay? I don't think they're going to go away. I don't think they're going to close their office up. I don't think, you know, the hotline's still going to be there. We're still going to refer. They're still going to exist. It's just given, you know, this council and the community, not this council, I mean, it's given this community a little bit of what precious little dollars that we do have out there, access to just those times of need when there's, and you know, they come up, and it's who knows what it is, where we just have a little bit of dollars to be able to do a little bit more, other than having what we had. Again, I go back to 6,300, we were going to whittle down to 300, and you know, what are you going to do with $300? Other than pay my OEU bill, but that's, you know, giving this council a little bit of help in the community, the ability to be able to do some things. So I don't think you're going to see them close up by losing an extra $20,000. And they're still going to continue to be effective, because they have in the past. And you're right, Jay. I think we, you know, I wouldn't mind even going to the county level, whatever the county believes in this community, I think we should believe right along with them.
You know, well, and in the sense that we're talking about funding something like that, yeah. I don't think we want to take that completely, Councilman Hall.
What's the pleasure of council?
I'm glad to see that dramatic statement, right? Got a little rise in you there.
I'm good with 50.
I'm okay with the 60.
I'm okay with 62.
I am also.
Okay.
I'm okay with 50.
Okay. So we will reduce the allocation from $80,000 annually to $60,000 in the fiscal year 13-14 budget. Okay.
Mr. President, we will transfer the $20,000 from the EIF fund to the council's discretionary.
That is correct.
That's right.
That is correct.
And we will take the same approach that we have in prior years when a organization comes forward with a funding request. We'll bring that to council for council to determine if they want to fill it. And we don't have anything else for the budget.
Cindy.
Yes, sir.
Where in which page is city council's budget on? Which page in here is city council budget on?
You will not see the individual line items, but you'll see the roll up.
Well, not even the individual line items, but just the council budget. But it would be good to see the line items, like the document that I just gave you.
We will pull it up for you.
While you're looking for that, and before we go off of the budget and quit discussing the budget, and this kind of gelled in my mind at the last council meeting when Kent talked about the ice skating rink. Next year, when we do the budget, it might be helpful for us if the department heads maybe did a short narrative about sort of where their department is, what we're looking to do in the next budget year, some of the things that are included in the budget that, you know, and it doesn't have to be anything complicated, mm-hmm. but just a kind of a short narrative to say, sort of where we are and where we're looking to go in the next budget year, and some of the things that may be included in the budget or not, or That's an idea.
Kind of like a high-level overview of their function.
Sure, just, and again, just one page, just, you know, these are the things that we're, these are the things that are incorporated into our budget that might have been different from last year that, you know.
Kind of like a transmittal letter, like?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And you, are you looking for more like capital expenditure plans too versus?
Well, it would include both, I think. You know, the Recreation and Parks Department is looking to do these things in the coming year.
Here's our priorities, here's.
Here's what we're looking at, this is included in the budget, here or there, or, you know, pick another one, the fire department.
Sure.
Whatever, just sort of a short narrative to introduce each department.
We used to do that years ago, yeah. They would come in and, you know, each department would, you know, give whatever their budget was, and here's why, whatever number it was, or here's what we're planning on doing, et cetera, et cetera. So.
But you're talking.
Remember those days, Daniel?
I'm talking about a written document, yeah. Just that we can have when we're looking at the, just the numbers and the line items, that then that makes, you know.
Kind of explanation behind the numbers.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Find it.
We'll have to get you the exact, the council is lumped in with the executive department with the city attorney, the city manager's office, so it's all together, so we'll have to break out council for you.
Yeah, break it out, because we're not the executive department, we're city council.
Mayor, is there a specific item you're looking for, or just want a copy of it?
I just want to see the whole, just like what Lori gave me there.
Okay.
That has it all broken down, those items, that document that we just, that I just gave you.
Yes, and that was in the last document that we gave you, but we'll resurrect it and resend it to you.
Well, I mean, I got this from Lori through Jackie yesterday. So whatever the current numbers are that reflect these items.
We'll have to do this afternoon.
Yeah.
No problem.
You want that for the current year, Mayor, or for 14?
For what we're.
Let's do both, current year and next year, let's do both.
This coming year. Whatever that number is out of that $1.6 million, $416.
Are there any other items that council would request at this time to be changed, altered, or amended?
Not that I can think of.
Madam President, staff doesn't have any more on the budget at this time. Unless there's any other questions from council, we'd like to proceed to the next item on the agenda.
I'm good.
Okay, great, thank you. Give us just about 20 seconds to transition here really quick. Ahead and go on to item B, which is the review of the investment ordinance. There's a change to it that we're going to talk about at some length today. To initiate the discussion, I'm going to turn the time over to our Chief Financial Officer, Diane Reichert.
Hi, Madam President, Council Members, and Mayor. We're here to talk a little bit about the investment ordinance change that we're going to have on the agenda coming up in the future, and I have with me to explain the information is John Griffith. He's from CAP Trust, and he's the investment consultant for our investment committee.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon. I wanted to proceed through a brief presentation that we had made to the committee at our last meeting. The proposal on the table at this time is to change the ordinance to allow for the investment of the operating fund in what are known as triple B level securities, fixed income securities. These are investments that have been restricted in many cases for operating funds, but at the same time have been becoming more popularly used for investment of this type. We also find within the state of Florida that many of the pension funds have also allowed exposure to triple Bs. For those of you who don't really know what I mean when I say triple B, what we're talking about is corporate, generally speaking, is corporate securities, fixed income securities issued by quality corporations domestically who have been given a rating by Standard & Poor's or Moody's or Fitch for a credit quality which is known as investment grade. So these securities are considered to be quality securities. It's not considered to be junk or high yield. And we're basically, the question that's been posed to us as your consultant is simply, is this an appropriate thing to do? And what are the potential issues associated with it? So if we could go through the presentation, we'll start with the first page, which is a series of bar graphs. If you could all follow along with the hard copy that you've been provided. I think you'll find that there's a lot of very small print in this presentation. I apologize for that, but it should be easier to see for you on the hard copy. And what you can see on the first page is the rolling returns going back 15 years. The blue bar represents an index of fixed income securities that include investment grade bonds or triple Bs. The black bars represents a portfolio that is made up strictly of A or better securities, with the A through triple A. And what you can see is that over all of those time periods, the triple B portfolio has outperformed the non-triple B portfolio. I know it's kind of hard to tell by how much, but just generally speaking, it's about 25 to 30 basis points. And that applies to all of those periods. On the next page, you'll note this is basically the same information, only defined in calendar terms, calendar years. And you'll see for most of those periods, the portfolio using triple Bs continued to outperform. Now, there was one period which is clearly anomalous to that, and that is the 2008 year, which is, all of you will remember, the year of the disruptions in the financial markets due to a credit crisis and so forth. And during that period, the triple Bs underperformed, which would be expected because the fear in the markets drove basically all asset classes were driven down because of that fear and because of the flight to safety. And the flight to safety, of course, was to securities rated A or better, or usually even triple A. On the next page, this is... I think the key question that would be before all of you is, okay, fine, so we can invest in triple B securities and possibly enhance our returns by approximately 30 basis points. That's the message. But your question naturally should be, well, but what's the risk? What are we getting into here? And the material on this page tries to define that for you. In the first block of information, you have, again, a representation of the Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, US Corp Gov, 1 to 5 year index. And below that is the US corporate government 1 to 5 year index constrained to A or better. So if you're all with me on that, basically we're looking at a triple B investment allowed against a triple B investment not allowed as an index. What you can see is that the return was approximately 20 basis points higher. This is over a 10-year period, by the way, from April of 2003 to March of 2013. The standard deviation was essentially the same. Standard deviation is another word for risk, generally speaking. The up capture was 102, the down capture was 95. This just simply means that it was picking up somewhat better returns in up markets relative to what it was losing in down markets. The best month was 1.97%. The worst month was 1.56%. The best quarter was 304, and the worst quarter was -7.1. So you can see that there was enhanced returns for very, very little incremental additional risk. Now, if we go to the next block of information, you can see that, again, we're using two indexes. One is the AAA, as we did in the initial example. But here, we're using an index that is essentially a lower quality index, going all the way down to triple Bs and A, without the AA and AAA component. Here you can see we would increase returns by 1.46%. The risk would be substantially higher at 1.94. And I won't go through the rest of the statistics, but simply to say that by going down on the credit ladder and increasing your exposure to credit risk, you're definitely going to enhance returns and at the same time increase your risk. So that's not where we're suggesting that we do this, but we just wanted to show you that to get a feel for the differences. With that, I think I'll move on to the next page. So in summary, effectively what we're saying is that triple B rated bonds exhibit the following characteristics. They provide a yield advantage versus higher rated bonds. Over time, they tend to increase returns for fixed income portfolios that have exposure. And incidentally, there's a word no there, and just for clarification's sake, if you would just scratch that out, I think it makes more sense, the sentence. And three, the higher return is accompanied by higher volatility and potential for losses. So, again, it's not a free lunch. There is some additional volatility, as was illustrated in the 2008 timeframe, but the returns are there. Our firm would generally support making this move to use AAA or BBB securities, and we would also recommend that in implementing such a recommendation, that we would leave it to the discretion of your fund managers, that is the bond managers, as to how much and as to what level they would participate in that particular market. Are there any questions with what I've discussed so far?
Well, yeah, I got a huge question on your last statement there. So you're recommending that we would go into these triple B rated, but not put a handcuff on the bond managers as to the extent that they could, of the portfolio that they're managing for us, that they could put into these Bs?
Well, actually, there is a constraint. In the sense that they are expected to manage to their benchmark. The benchmark typically outlines what the maximum level of exposure to any particular asset class would be. And then within our policy, we also define that we want them to stay within those benchmark ranges. Just for an example, for the mid-range managers and the long-range managers, you'd probably be getting an exposure of about 10% of the portfolio maximum. As a matter of fact, I discussed this with one of your managers, Sawgrass, who you've been using for many, many years, and he felt that the exposure would not exceed 5% of that portfolio.
Let me ask a question. This is the money that Sawgrass, PFM, and I can't remember the other.
Stable River.
Yeah, manage. And how much money is in that now? Including the SBA money.
The SBA money is not included in that. We have $170 million in those three money managers.
Okay, and including the SBA, how much would be?
SBA has about $35
million. How much money in total do we have?
Total investment portfolios, including what's in the bank account, is like $235 million.
Right.
Okay. Yes. All right. Councilman McLeod and I have asked this question. What is this money for? I mean, why do we have it? What do we do with it?
Well, one of the things you have is you have a 20% requirement in your general fund to have 20% of your fund balance available. So that money we turn around and invest.
So that 20% is in.
Yes, sir. Yes, this is considered our fund balances. And then you have several restricted funds that can only be used for certain purposes. So you've got all that money that's there, and you have to have it available, you know, on a cash basis. So everything, you know, you have to manage your money throughout the budget and throughout everything. And then you have your utility funds, who should have a fund balance as well.
Right.
We don't have a policy that states 20%, but it would be good to have a 20% in your utility funds.
Recall, if you will, the council retreat in January, and I had the buckets out there.
Right.
And I remember I gave you a list that said we have 44 buckets. We have 44 different funds. If I can use the electric fund for just a moment. Electric fund, we've been able to accrue about $36 million in rate stabilization fund money.
Right.
To assist us with the volatility of natural gas.
Well, there was about $17 million in the rate stabilization fund, give or take, usually. But you're saying there's $36 million in it now?
We've been able to accrue that. That's correct.
There's $36 million in the rate stabilization fund?
That is correct. Approximately. That's correct.
So that's like doubled what it was just a few years ago.
Yeah, we reported on that, I think, a couple times during council.
Okay.
In fact, I mentioned it when council was looking to staff to find ways to close that fund, the general fund's gap. Council said, hands off the rate stabilization
right.
fund. So the balance that staff speaks of relates to the reserves that are within those 44 funds. Each
right.
fund has a different mission, a different mandate.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. It's just that we never talk about this fund.
And I'm assuming the amount of money that we're setting aside for the decommissioning of the nuclear power plant over CR3 is in that.
I'm not sure if that's the electric fund. I believe
but it's
that
in
is
that 200 something million.
I believe
that
it
Diane
is.
Just alluded
yes.
to, correct?
Yes. I believe we sent you a report just recently that talked about how where all the 235 million is and which all the funds. I did not bring that report with me today to be able to talk, you know, intelligently, but
I think I got the report.
Yeah, it was for the members yeah. of the finance committee.
Yeah,
I'll give it to council.
I don't know if the rest of council got it or not.
Yeah.
John right now is the council representative on that finance council.
So you're making this recommendation to us to direct Sawgrass. Is Sawgrass or all the managers going to be subject to this where they can put in?
Yes, we have three money managers, and they would all be eligible to go out and purchase triple B bonds.
Okay.
And the second page of the report is the ordinance that would come before you to be amended. If you look on it, there's three or four or five places that allows triple Bs, which is in our ordinance. It's a three-page document behind. That's the ordinance that we would present to council. And then we were going to discuss the rest of the policies
here,
if you wanted
document.
Us to continue.
The investment policy.
Yeah, that this is the three pages is simply the ordinance that would come before council at Tuesday's council meeting to authorize the city investment committee to direct the investment managers to have triple B bonds in their portfolio. Right now, they can only have A or better in their portfolio. And this would say, we're not limiting how many, the 5% or the 10%. We're just stating that they can utilize triple B to purchase.
Okay. Well, I mean, okay. I mean, the cap trust, I mean, you're wanting them to invest those assets, obviously, with your firm, correct?
No, sir. That's
no,
not
sir.
Correct.
He's the investment consultant.
He
oversees all of our investment managers.
He's doing what Merrill Lynch used to do, and he's also doing what Bogdan used to
yes.
do?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
sir.
I haven't
I'm sorry. We did
doing
not
that
make
anymore.
That. Yes.
Yeah, the last time I checked, it was, Bogdan.
Yeah, in fact, that's a great point, Mayor. Cap Trust became the city's
investment consultant
right. back in May, John? April, maybe?
January.
Okay.
January.
So we made that change from Bogdan
to
John.
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
If I have a few more pieces to this presentation, if I may. All right. If you look at the next page, which is titled at the top, Fixed Income Yields and Returns, there's a lot of data here. And basically, I'm not even going to talk about the data. I'm just going to make a point. If you want to, we can discuss some of this data. The point is that we're right now facing a very, actually, historically unusual situation where we have very, very, very low interest rates, which have been encouraged by the Federal Reserve. And we have an expectation that over the next many years that interest rates will be climbing rather than declining. And actually, interest rate cycles tend to run in very, very long periods, as many as 30 years. So probably while most of us are still here and using money, we'll be looking at rising rates rather than falling rates. And because of that, that puts a particular amount of pressure, at least in the short to intermediate term, on value, the value of bonds, which is going to make it increasingly difficult to manage the portfolio in a positive way. So what I wanted to point out is that the BBB option actually does have a protective effect on that discounting effect that occurs because of rising interest rates. And there's a lot of technical reasons for that, which I'd be happy to get into, but I don't feel we need to at this moment. This move would also be a positive in that direction for that particular problem as we see it laying out before us. And that's pretty much, one more slide. If you look at the last slide, just to reiterate the point that I was making about the length of investment rate cycles, you can see that this chart, the blue line represents the yield on the 10-year Treasury bill, tracing back to approximately 1955 to June 30th. And you notice the pattern there, and you probably all remember 1981 when the rates peaked, and the rates have been falling ever since. So that's quite a long time, about 30 years. And they bottomed out just a few months ago, and they've been rising. And as I drove in this afternoon, it had reached 2.71, at least today. So there's an expectation there that we'll be dealing with these rising rates, and I think the BBBs can be helpful in that respect.
Hey, yes, sir. Question, and I am the one that sits on the investment committee, but aren't these ratings, they become more strict in the past few years due to the downturn in the economy than what they were, say, before the economy? So what is now BBB would have been closer to A bond before. Is that correct? Or bond, excuse me, I'm using the wrong term, but
I think we're all hopeful that the rating agencies have been more careful in their rating procedures. I can't guarantee that, but I think your essence is correct.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm generalizing, but for me, it was a fairly easy decision based on the benchmarks we had in place, and we're not talking about sticking the whole portfolio in the BBB rated bonds and doing anything
like that. I
just like
to know how the benchmarks work, so, and I guess
you'll need about 5 or 6 hours.
That's what I'm thinking.
Councilman, as a practical matter, the most likely in the scenarios that we would see before us, while PFM, which is the very short manager, would have the right to do BBBs, they probably would not, because
John, can I stop for just a moment? Would you mind taking just a step back, provide more color in terms of why we have a strategy of three different investment managers and three different benchmarks associated with them? That might be helpful.
Sure. Okay. As stated, there are three managers. Each manager has a separate mission. So in other words, we don't have three managers just so they can compete with one another. We have three managers so that they can basically exert separate strategies. PFM is your short manager, and they're managing on an index or a benchmark that is securities with a 1 to 3 year maturity time frame. Very safe money. If you had a need for that money, that's probably where you would go to get it, because it stays pretty close to par in terms of value. And you have a mid-range manager, and it's benchmarked to the Merrill Lynch or the Bank of America Merrill Lynch 1 to 5 index. So it's going out to about 5 years, or can go out to 5 years. A little bit more volatility, a little less liquidity, a little bit better return. And then finally, we have the long manager, which is Stable River. Stable River is empowered to go 1 to 10, in their range. Again, a little more volatility, a little higher return in level interest rate environments. So what we try to do is we're trying to maximize safety, volatility, and maximize returns and reduce volatility through those three separate missions. We have the power under the policy to overweight or underweight any one of those three opportunities as we see tactically appropriate.
Do you divide the money up 33-33-33, or is it more heavily weighted toward the front end or the back end?
It's actually 30-40-30, and I believe the 40 is the mid-range.
The 40 is the mid-range? So there are no instruments that have maturities longer than 10 years? Those aren't available for consideration?
It's possible there could be a security or two, but no, fundamentally it's 10.
And I assume you trade in these accounts are traded, correct?
Oh, yeah. They're actively managed, yes.
Actively managed.
By the manager. That's the end of my presentation. If any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
So from here, the only other thing we wanted to present to you, which is included in your packet, thank you, John. And I also wanted to introduce Marie Brooks. She is our senior treasury analyst. She takes care of all the money for us and works with John closely and all the investment managers. But the next thing is the investment policy. That wouldn't be something that you vote on. This is handled at your investment committee level, but we wanted to give it to you for information so that you know what we're doing and where things are going. And there's only a couple of changes that we've recently made to it. And one was, as we just spoke about the three different money managers, on page 8, we talk about how the 1-3s get 30% and the 1-5s get 40%. And the 1-10s get 30%. So therefore, we're demonstrating it in our policy that is our target ratio of funds that we will give to each one of these managers to manage for us. And other than that, there's some cleanup as far as verbiage, and we look at the policy on an annual basis, and the committee is very active. They meet quarterly. And so at the next council meeting, we will have the ordinance for your presentation to decide whether you want to vote for triple B or not, for us to move forward.
Have we already done the introduction of this ordinance? It's coming for a vote, or it's coming to be introduced at the next meeting?
It will be coming to be introduced, and then we'll have second reading at the next meeting. Yes, ma'am. That's all we have. Thank you.
Madam President, that's all that staff has this afternoon.
Pardon?
That's all that staff has this afternoon.
Okay.
We'll turn the time back over to you.
I don't have anything left.
Yes, ma'am.
We are adjourned.
Daniel?
Ask him about that thing.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
Susie?
I'll be there.